Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, Ray, Jeezy. And we're part of Sports Journey, so make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV teams. What's going on, fellas?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Yeah. We that much closer to Turkey Day.
Yeah, I've already started eating.
You already started?
I had pizza tonight. I just eating bad. But what's interesting is this is going to be my first Thanksgiving where I'm not vegan. I've been vegan for so long. Was vegan for so long that I used to approach Thanksgiving totally different, you know, mostly looking at side dishes, vegetables. But now I'm like, hey, this is dope. I might be able to eat anything I want, even though I'm still going to mostly eat plants like I always do. But it's amazing. It's amazing the difference when you go back to the flesh for a little while, bro.
Do you eat turkey? Are you going to eat turkey?
I'm eating a little turkey, eat a little fish.
You really back.
Yeah, I'm back. Like I said, it may not be permanent, but I told y'all before, veganism, we're a little commercial. All these fake meats out here, and you know I'm not down with fake stuff. It's all about the realness. I know the sports thing.
Hey man,
Will T. Look, the famous Will T.
Now Will T a star, man. You know Will T was on the Football Garbage Time podcast, man. He was doing it up, man. He was talking about how, you know, he's just that one hitter quitter on the picks. So you know, Will's just the dude right now.
Nah, man. I'm just, I seldom do interviews. I allow, you know, you guys to do you guys are the faces of the urban sports scene. I'm just in the background, man.
This dude was on there. I was like, when I saw the alert, I was like, wait a minute. Will T? Guess Will T? Then Hakun, he DM'd us and was like, yo, FYI, we have Will T. Like, you know what I'm saying? Breaking news or something. I was like, damn, bro. You trying to come between the fellas?
Nah, you know, like I told you, man, you know, Thursday night was epic for hip-hop with Jeezy and Gucci, you know, coming together and doing that. And I just figured, man, why not me and Hakun, you know, we talked and, you know, we settled some things and, you know, I decided to just jump on the podcast. So, hey, you know, it works, you know.
Hey, so are your picks going to be on time now?
No, of course not. He'll get my first picks Thursday at 11:50.
Oh man, hey, man, it's good. I'm glad that you did the Jeezy, you know what I mean, Gucci Mane type of thing, man. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to bring peace to this whole podcast universe.
I feel. Did you have like a big speech like Jeezy did? You know what I'm saying? During
the show? Man, it wasn't none of that. You know, what was said between men stays between men. And, you know, we just agreed that, you know, we could work together and, you know, bring unity to the sports podcasting world. That's all.
Respect, man. Respect.
Hey, doing it for the culture.
I know, right? For the culture.
For the culture,
bro.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's for. It's for the culture.
For the culture. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
It's been to our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 20-9 in their upcoming game against their rivals, the Dallas Cowboys, at 8:20. 8:20, about the report that John Wall wants out of D.C. Hey, man, it is what it is. 8:32, we'll talk about the Wizards draft. Finally, we'll discuss the NBA moves during the free agency period. But first, Sunday, the Washington football team beat the Cincinnati Bengals 20-9. Thoughts on the game? Let's start with Ray.
I was not happy with the defense in that game. I feel as though Washington has a serious problem in covers. Joe Burrow was slinging the ball around, brother. And even though you can get pressure up front, guys were still running free, which says to me that some changes need to be made. I know my man T. Living is listening. He was chiming in on everybody's tweet about who they need to sign, of course. But I will agree with him about Troy Apke, who dropped a easy interception. Like, any of us would have caught that. I don't understand how he did not get that turnover, which is huge, which is what Washington's defense needs. But I'm not taking much from this victory because I feel as though without the Joe Burrow injury, it's a much closer game, and you have a problem in coverage, which bothers me a lot moving forward. And you're playing against the Dallas team this Thursday, mm-hmm. of course, that has a talented receiving core and looking a bit rejuvenated. So defense needs to figure it out. And on offense, you got to be more consistent, of course. A lot of people were questioning Scott Turner's play calling throughout the course of that game. But you started to run the football, fam. What happened? What clicked and decided and made them decide to run the football? I thought that was dope, and that helped lead to the victory. Although, again, I feel as though you still got some concerns, got some holes to fix, and Coach Rivera needs to address it.
Will T.
Give you my honest thoughts. I don't know why the NFL subjects us to watching NFC East football. I'm just going to be honest with you.
It's real talk, man.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I know that we live in the market, mm-hmm. and Washington football team is our designated team, and this is the D.C. market, but I don't know why we have to consistently watch that low level of professional football. Having said that, I agree with a couple things Ray said. Antonio, they're finally starting to consistently implement the run with Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson looks to me like, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years, he could potentially be a star in the making. Mm. That's one. Two, even though defensive, you know, even from a statistical standpoint, this defense plays very well. But given that this defense is the strong point of this team, I really want to see them put in a dominant performance, you know, from the opening whistle to the final whistle. I want to see this defensive unit play a consistent, dominant performance from the first quarter through the fourth quarter. That's something that we haven't seen completely. And the third thing is, I'm just going to consistently ring the bell for this. You know, I've said it a couple times. Mm. You know what you have in Alex Smith, which is cool. But I think if you're going to really get the best out of this offense and get, you know, really unlock it, you know, to the degree you can, given the weapons you have, I think you should put Dwayne Haskins in and let him see if he's matured and see what he could do.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much everything. The defense wasn't strong to me. I think statistically speaking, you know, people are going to look like they gave up only 9 points. They had four sacks, had a fumble, they forced a fumble and an interception. But when you look at the game for what it was, if Joe Burrow doesn't go down, they probably lose the game. They were down 9-7 before he got hurt in the third quarter when he tore his ACL. So, I mean, truth be told, and he was moving up and down the field. I've had an issue with the way Jack Del Rio has been calling games defensively for this team. He plays back. He gives, like, a lot of cushion. It's a bend but don't break defense. But, again, if you have a defensive front, like, you know, the talent on the defensive front, like we see with, you know, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, now you're getting improved play with Tim Settle. And you're getting a pass rush. There's no need to play back and play a bend but don't break defense when your pass rush is already, you know, your pass rush is pretty adequate. So you don't play back. You don't allow the quick passing game, which Joe Burrow was doing. Joe Burrow wasn't holding on to the football. He was getting it out quick. And if you're playing back, that's an easy 5, 6, 7. And eventually, you know, he's going to find open seams when he has more time in the pocket. So you're making it easy for the you're making it easy for the quarterback. You've seen the way Kendall Fuller has played this season. Why not press up? I mean, your cornerbacks haven't been that bad this season. Even Darby's had a good year, but you're playing so far back. You're giving the quarterback an opportunity to catch a rhythm. Also, in terms of the offensive side of football, I want to see the running game be effective when they're not playing piss poor defenses who can't stop the run. The Cowboys couldn't stop the run. They had a great run. They had a great day running the football. The Bengals have a piss poor run defense. They were able to run the football. How about doing that against an adequate defense, and also be constant in running the football? You know what I'm saying? So I want to see this team run the football against defenses that have that will try to stop you from running the football. And a lot of these defenses they're playing, the defense they've had success running the football, these defenses have been piss poor.
Yeah, I agree. Even when Joe Burrow went out of the game, you know, I thought that Jack Del Rio would do some things, and I understand that he has a script and they practice, you know, certain defensive formations and what they want to, and they have a game plan, what do they want to do defensively. But I thought that would be the perfect time for you to just get after Ryan Finley.
I
just thought that would be the perfect time if you had some exotic blitzes or some exotic coverages for Ryan Finley to just throw something at him and, you know, see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put something on tape where, you know, this week on a short week, Dallas would have to think about, you know, give Andy Dalton something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But that really didn't happen, you know. So, but, you know, nevertheless, they got a W and they're on a short week. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this team is able to turn it around. So, you know, as quickly with what, as Wally calls, a rivalry game on Thanksgiving.
Let's get right into that, Will T. Good segue, man. Appreciate you, dog. You probably look at the outline and whatnot. You're doing a great job. on Thanksgiving Day, Turkey Day, Washington takes on their rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams are coming off W's. Who do you think has more confidence coming into this game? I'll start with Will, because we started with Ray last time. Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that Dallas has more confidence coming into this game.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, just looking at, you know, who both of these teams face this weekend, I think we could all agree that Minnesota team is a better team. Facts. And the Minnesota team was actually playing for something. They were playing to get back to 500 mm-hmm. to try to position themselves for possibly that seventh playoff spot, and to go into Minnesota and get a victory against that team who've been red hot the past 3 to 4 weeks, definitely, you know, would give the Dallas Cowboys confidence. And on top of that, they have he's their starter now, Andy Dalton. They have him back under center.
Mm-hmm. True. Ray?
Am I allowed to disagree?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, you are, sir.
I'm being funny. But here's the thing. I believe that, first of all, Chase Young, he regained confidence this past week, mm-hmm. and he looks motivated, which was good to see. If there's one thing that came out of that game positive against the Bengals, is that Chase Young came out a motivated young man, showing people that you can say what you want about me, but I'm a dog, and mm-hmm. I was deserving of the number two pick. Anyway, specific to your question, I believe that Washington is still remembering when they dominated the same Dallas football team a few weeks ago. Now, you can say what you want about Andy Dalton returning under center. It's the same offensive line that has to protect him. And like mm-hmm. I said, this team does get after the quarterback. If you get after Andy Dalton, he can turn the football over. So I think that bodes well in your favor. It's just, like I mentioned before, are the DBs confident? Is your defensive backfield confident enough to go out there and, like Will said, to play shutout football? I do think that the defense is confident. Their numbers aren't bad. And going into this game, being a confident group, if you can start off the game quickly, mm-hmm. that'll be dope. Dallas' defense isn't strong, and Washington knows that. You have a chance, say what you want, to get this division to actually become the top dog in the division with this win, sweeping your rival. Washington comes in more confident.
I ain't talking that mess about the division. Go ahead, go with it.
Let me retort, Ray.
Sure.
You said that Chase Young came in motivated and looked like a dog, right? This past week against Cincinnati, which is correct. Do you think some of that motivation was because he was facing the number one overall pick, with him being the second pick in the draft, and maybe he thought he was slighted?
No, not at all. No. I don't think that was motivation. I believe his error from the week before, and people actually saying he's a bust. Like,
yeah.
that was all over social media, and I'm thinking to myself, you guys are crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, these fans off the chain. I don't know why I pay attention to them, but you know
shouldn't.
What? I don't have a choice, because this is what we do, fam. So I had to listen. But he, again, to me, he plays the best with a chip on his shoulder. Remember he got suspended at Ohio State?
Yeah.
His first game back, what do you do?
Oh, he fried.
Three sacks.
He fried.
I just feel as though even though he's young, he just might be your anchor on defense.
I mean,
I'm not saying that, but do you think maybe a little bit of extra motivation was because he was playing the number one overall?
I mean, of course, everybody's competitive. Don't get it twisted. Everybody's competitive. Well, everybody's competitive.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. I think everybody's competitive. Like you, when if you're playing against one, your former teammate. Secondly, you know, you're the first pick overall. You know, it's natural. You're gonna feel like, you know what? I'm gonna show y'all who's the best player in that draft. And it would be in the same. You could say the same for whoever's the third pick overall. If they're playing against a Chase Young, they'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna show you that I was better than Chase Young. So it's just, you know, it's natural. I think it's a natural. It's natural competition. If you're a competitor, like you want to show the world that you were the best player in the 2020 draft. So I don't doubt that. I do think that it came from most of his, you know. Most of his aggression, most of his like want to show the world, you know, what he was about was because people were calling him a bust, and they were saying they were saying that he messed up because it's that Detroit game, and it's because of stats. People look at it and they're like, he doesn't have 10 sacks right by now, and it's like, dude, watch the freaking football game. The dude causes chaos. He gets double teamed. He's a rookie getting double teamed, and he's allowing other players to get off. So it's like y'all worried about these stats, these sack totals. But sometimes you just want to see a guy cause chaos. Ryan Kerrigan would give you 12, 15 sacks and wasn't chaotic enough. Like, we've seen that. At least Chase Young, on every given Sunday, you see him putting pressure on the quarterback. You see him creating lanes for other dudes to get sacked. So that dude has been balling.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, but to the confidence issue, on which I think Minnesota has more confidence than the Minnesota. I'm sorry, the Cowboys have more confidence because they beat Minnesota. You know, shout out to Kirk Cousins, man. He always kind of helps out. Well, doesn't help out the Washington football team. Shout out to Kirk Cousins. But yeah, you beat a team that, like Will said, is, you know, content. Well, trying to get into the postseason with a respectable record. It's been playing good football of late with Dalvin Cook. They were able to beat that team. Washington just beat, you know, they just beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who aren't world beaters. But hopefully, you know, Alex Smith is now 1-1 as a starter. He's a guy who's a vet. Hopefully they can lean on Alex because, you know, they're trying to win a division, which I don't believe in anyway. I hate talking about it. But yeah, if they can, you know, get another win, beat the Dallas Cowboys, and get another victory, maybe they can have a chance to compete for whatever.
I mean, to be honest with you, Wally, you sound like you're trying to talk yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, believe me, bro. I was watching. You know what I was doing? You know what I was doing on Sunday? I'm gonna keep it a buck.
I was watching
NBA TV. I was watching. I was watching, and then I was watching Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman's 30 for 30, ESPN 30 for 30 joint. So, believe me, I ain't talking myself. No, I got people texting me about the game. I'm like, oh, I missed that. I missed when Joe Burrow got hurt. Like, I didn't even see that.
I saw that, too.
Yeah, I missed that.
I saw that, too.
Yeah,
yeah, you got to be careful with that, man. We're going to provide the in-depth analysis. I need you to watch the game. Here's the thing. Yo, you didn't pick Washington as well.
No, I did not. I did not.
Because they won, of course, and you didn't pick them. I picked them, by the way, to win this game. And
Don't be calling me out anymore,
you,
huh?
You always go so hard at Kirk Cousins, but now all of a sudden, because Dallas beat a Kirk Cousins-led Minnesota team, they got confidence. Get out of here. Minnesota's not good.
Look, man, you say it all the time. I like Dalvin Cook. I wasn't giving it for Kirk Cousins. That was because of Dalvin Cook. I don't care. Kirk stinks. I'm talking about Dalvin Cook. You see, I said Dalvin Cook. I didn't emphasize Kirk was balling. Dalvin Cook. Kirk sucks.
Okay.
That's all, man. Forget Kirk Cousins, man. It's all about Dalvin Cook. All right. Does John Wall really want to be in D.C.? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
He's phony. She's fake. That's the type of people I hate.
Hey. Oh. Hey.
Who's real? Who's not? She's real, but he's not. If you're real and you know it, clap your hands.
clap. Packs gon' move, blood get drawn, skin gon' bruise. Real gon' win, fake gon' lose. The love overpowers the hate, my tools. All they left was the yellow tape in his shoes. Drill when the funeral wake, make the news. Load the tray pound so we six up on them. So when they act phony, we just switch up on them.
He's phony, what? She's fake. That's the type of people I hate.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. All right, last week, it was reported that Washington Wizards point guard John Wall wanted to be traded. Now, Wizards GM Tommy Shepard came out and stated that Wall did not demand a trade. What's going on in D.C.? I'm going to start with Ray Jeezy.
Well, from what I'm hearing, my intel tells me that John Wall, in fact, did request a trade, but it was sort of impulsive because he was upset at hearing the news that he was in trade discussions. And where Tommy Shepard was coming from was, yo, we really didn't want to trade you. We did have the discussion, but it didn't go very far, and we didn't leak it. It was the Rockets that leaked the information. Yeah. We never said anything because we knew that much wasn't going to materialize. They were trying to get assets from us. This is what happened. But, of course, John Wall already being sort of upset because Tommy Shepard came out in a different interview saying, I'm building around Bradley Beal. So he's already feeling some type of way because he has put his body on the line. He's a five-time All-Star. He's led this group, or he's led his organization to the playoffs. So he was frustrated, and initially he was hurt, but I'm hearing that he's now moving past it and ready to start training camp. So maybe we can put these rumors to bed, even though I've been rocking my Steve Francis Rockets jersey and owed to the DMV legend as well as support for the Rockets trade because I was down with it. But I love John Wall, too. No disrespect, nothing personal. But Russ is that dude, man. That's a big fan of him as well. Maybe we can put the rumor to bed, even though, Tommy Shepard is looking like a young Ernie out here, except he does interviews.
Hey, Will T, go ahead, bro. I'll let you go.
I didn't put any credence into the rumors. Mm-hmm. For a couple of reasons. One, that John Wall contract at this point right now is a virtual, it's untradeable at this point because the past two seasons John Wall has not played in the NBA. He hasn't really played that many games or no games at all. So I don't think there's any team that will gamble on him coming off of that heel injury. Two, I'm not necessarily sold on the prospects of you trading John Wall for Russell Westbrook and then saying you want to build this team around Bradley Beal. We know from Russell Westbrook's personality, he has a very strong personality and within a locker room. And if you want to build this team around Bradley Beal and this to be Bradley Beal's team, you can't match him with a Russell Westbrook who is essentially a shoot first point guard with Bradley Beal and think Bradley Beal is going to have the same effect as a player and be able to build this organization around him. And three, yes, you know, we've known John Wall to be a little bit impulsive, a little bit high-headed in the past. So I just took it as, all right, if the rumors are true, if he has asked for a trade, it was just him being impulsive and him being upset with how things have gone. As far as Tommy Shepard coming out and saying he's building this, like Ray alluded to, Tommy Shepard saying he's building his team around Bradley Beal and then him hearing his name in trade rumor.
You know what else helped John Wall out? What was the number one priority of the offseason for Washington, Will? To sign who? To re-sign who?
Davis Bertans.
Davis Bertans. Exactly. And Davis Bertans spoke out in support of John Wall, like, bro, my number's about to go up with Jay Wall back on the court because John Wall is a pass-first point guard. So that definitely helped John Wall's case for needing to stay in town. Although, we're forgetting about the character issues that recently surfaced, and I'm talking about the videos that reportedly factored into the Wizards' decision-making and even having trade discussions at all, because they are a little bit discouraged with John Wall making such a kind of a boneheaded mistake in the midst of a time where, look at where the country is politically, in terms of culture. We're expecting our players to be professional. I'm talking about the NBA when I say our players, and I'm talking about the Wizards organization. And to see that definitely hurt them. He not only was throwing up gang signs, he was also he was looked like he was smoking weed too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they want him to make better choices. And I think the trade request or the trade rumors, so to speak, it helped to let John Wall know he's expendable as well, especially if you have a guy like Russ who's contract is very comparable. If it was straight up John for Russ, I think Russ would already be it for real.
Yeah, I don't think it was that serious. I do think John, to a point where I think the rumors are true that John did ask for a trade. And if the issue was the gang signs and the weed smoking on the video, I have a problem with that, because people do, like, I've seen much worse. And your organization is that go ahead, Will.
I gotta raise my hand. I'm sorry to cut you off. Can we examine that? No, can we examine that for a second? Right?
Sure. Yeah.
You're John Wall. You have a supermax contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people around you should, and I'm pretty sure the people around I'm not saying he provides for them, but I'm pretty sure they are able to enjoy the spoils of his lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you post that video?
Yeah, why would you even do that? Yeah.
Is there no one in your camp that says, look, that's not a good look, John. We need to chill. Let's not post that. We in a hotel room or some room. Looks like there's weed smoke. There's it probably is weed smoke, because when they panned to the table, you saw all of the fast food there. So
you a trip, dude. You put two and two together, right?
Like,
you put
two and two. I'm just putting two and two together. Like, is there no one in his camp that says, let's chill on that one. That's one we keep amongst the crew, amongst the inner circle, and we laugh at it.
I mean, that's hilarious.
It's a culture, Will. It really is. Look at what happened with Lou Williams. His man's posted him in Magic City.
I know.
While he was supposed to be away from the bubble at a funeral. And the sad part about it is, after his man's posted it, then they try to lie and say, this is an old picture, even though he had on the NBA logo mask on. It was just,
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Look at Mike Vick, man. People just don't not take the L's, man. Just take the L's.
Nah, but I'm just saying, man, look, if you have someone that is that much of a public figure,
your cash cow,
that well off, like, you, somebody in the camp gotta say, nah, I think we need to chill out.
Hey, John, chill out, dude. Nah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just, like, over this whole situation. I just feel like DC fans, they don't deserve John Wall. I'm like, that's where I'm at right now. People forget, man, like, this franchise, what it was when Gil wasn't Gil anymore, and they had to rely on Andre Blotch and JaVale McGee. They forget, man, what that draft pick did for this city and helped them to be respectable. You know, if he wasn't injured in that Atlanta Hawks series, they probably go to the Eastern Conference Finals that year. Then, you know, him going toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics teams, the team with Isaiah Thomas. I mean, like, dude has brought a lot of memories for this organization, recent memories for this organization. And my thing is, like, give him an opportunity to get healthy. I mean, if he's healthy, if he comes back healthy, then you know what you got. If he's not, then you're just going to have, for real, you're going, it's a hard contract to ship anyway. But if he's not the all-around real John Wall, I'm sure there's a team that would take him anyway. So if whatever happens with that contract, but give him an opportunity. You at least owe him that. Like, we've mentioned, and why he's probably pissed off is, like, this dude put his body on the line. You know, he put his body on the line for this team. You see it if you watched him play. Like, you see it. Like, he's a dude that plays hard. You can't – it's not like he loafing out there. There's players who be loafing, like, consistently. Like, that's a dude, when he plays hard. So, yeah, man, I feel like – for me, I feel like this franchise and fan base, they got to get that dude a little bit more respect. And I'm not saying, like, Russ, he better than Russ or whatever, but I'm just saying the way people turn on him, they make him seem like he garbage. Like he garbage for real. And I'm like, when he's still young and, you know, and there's not that many true point guards in the NBA that can make your wing players that much better. You know what I'm saying? And he's that type of dude.
I know we're coming up on time. Mm-hmm. All I'll say is this. The counter argument to that will be, yes, he put his body on the line, but he's been paid well. He's been paid handsomely for that. And I believe he's been compensated something to the tune of in the range of $70 million over the past 2 years for not playing an NBA game.
That's true.
That's not my argument, but that's argument.
Oh, got him. Okay, I feel you, bro. I see where you went with that one. I ain't going to say nothing no more. I'm going to break. All right.
Is you can't kick out. You can't kick out, bro.
No, I'm not trying to. Is
I heard business one on this one.
I got to give him that one. Is Danny Avdija the next Jan Vesely? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. Now part of Sports Journey. Check us out at sportsjourney.com. With the ninth pick of the NBA draft, the Washington Wizards drafted Danny Avdija. Thoughts on the pick, and how could and could he be the next Jan Vesely? And Jan Vesely was drafted by the Wizards in 2011. But I'll start with, Will.
I'll take it.
Go ahead, Will.
I'll take it. Can he be the next Von? Yeah.
Could he be?
Yes, he could. Just simply because, you know, I don't know how much scouting the Wizards were able to do on him, you know, coming into the draft with the traveling restrictions and also the restrictions of the combine. So there's definitely that possibility. Look, he was a projected top four pick, but he slid to number nine. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is the reason why he slid was his team only allowed certain organizations to get his medical records, right? Mm-hmm. But will he be the next Jan Vesely? I absolutely don't think so.
Yeah,
I think this guy is I've watched a couple of his highlight reels on YouTube and some
scary already, dude. Go ahead.
I don't think he is. I think he's exactly what the Wizards need, which is a potential third play. Hear me out.
Okay.
A potential third playmaker with the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I've always stated on this show is, in order for you to be a team that consistently goes deep in the playoffs, you have to have three guys that can create a shot for themselves and others. He has the playmaking ability at the age of 19. He still needs some development with his outside shooting, but he has a considerable high basketball IQ with the ball in his hand. And I think it's a good pick. If they, you know, Scott Brooks is known for developing players, younger players. He did it in the OKC. He did it last year with Roy Hachimura. So I think, you know, put him in Scott Brooks' hands, give him a season or two, and I think we have another guy that is a viable third option and helps this Wizards team potentially go deeper in the playoffs.
And real quick, my man Brian on Twitter tweeted, he can be as bad. He said no one could be as bad as Jan Vesely. Excuse me. But go ahead, Ray.
I want to respond to Will because it's interesting that typically Will doesn't like these types of moves when the Wizards focus so much on offense. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Ernie 2.0 trying to play positionless basketball and score at a high volume and outscore teams when you already were a pretty good offensive team. It's just defensively what is where the issue lies. And all we have is YouTube clips at this point. I'm not judging anything seeing this man play on YouTube. Forget that, especially in Israel. I like the potential. Mm-hmm. I like his size, you know, his scoring ability. Will T could be totally right. I'm not necessarily disagreeing. Mm-hmm. But for the Wizards, this is a business move more so than it is a basketball move, because you see the global success that Rui Hachimura had. Mm-hmm. And now you bring in another guy who's an international star at 19 years old, has a ton of potential. And you're looking at a good business move for the future, where right now the revenue is definitely hurt. You were already losing money from what I hear before the pandemic. So you had to make a move like this. Maybe that's what management felt and or Ted Leonsis. So I think that definitely factored in, as opposed to this being a basketball move. Now you see a guy like Luka has success the way he does, and you know his shooting improved. He got to the NBA, but you cannot necessarily replicate that. And the NBA is far more athletic. The game is far more athletic than the European game. So I'm not sure about this move, especially when you had Jalen Smith sitting right there. You had Haliburton sitting there, who could be a great backup point guard, if not coexist with a guy like John Wall on the court, because he's just long, athletic. You got to get better defensively. And I just feel as though they did not address that. And then you draft Cassius Winston, too. Like, when are we going to address the glaring weakness, which is defense?
Hey, but when Will was talking about highlights, man, I keep thinking about what's his name?
Antonio Daniels.
You know me so well, dog. That's all I keep thinking about is Antonio Daniels, dude. Because every time we come to draft and you see highlights, they make you like the best player since Jesus. So it's like when you watch him play, you're like, oh my god, like this dude is like the second coming. And then like when you watch him play actual basketball, you're like, dude, this ain't the same dude I saw with the highlights. Like. I hate NBA highlights. I hate them when they're doing scouting. All they show you is their best clips, and their best clips are like unworldly. Excuse me. So it's like when I saw dudes' clips, I was like, yo. But I'm with you, like for real. I'm like I want to push back on what I saw when I watched his clips. Cause I'm with you, Will T. Like when I saw him play, I was like, yo, this dude jive nasty. Like this dude got skills, and it's like. I don't want to compare him to Jan Vesely, because all you saw with Jan Vesely was all you saw. His highlights were all dunks, if I remember correctly. Like every highlight he had,
him running the floor
and dunking, right? And this dude has pat. You know what I mean? He can shoot, and it just looks like he can break his opponents down. And like he's able to do things one on one, which I do agree with you, Will, as an ISO player or a guy who can create a shot or create for others. If he's pass heavy. Is a dude that this Wizards team would desperately need, you know, to fill in that, the big three or the whole big three moniker, you know, they can have a big three. So he has that potential, but it's hard for me to like to go off highlights, because I'm like, oh, that's why I'm with Ray. It's hard for me because when you look at the draft, or especially an overseas player, everybody looks nasty. The kid, the New York Knicks drafted, looked nasty over his overseas clips, and he is garbage for the Knicks. You know what I mean? The dude, what's his name? The point guard.
Frank Nixon.
Yeah, not good at all.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio looked like AI.
Yes, exactly. And he's not bad, and Ricky Rubio is not bad. I'm just saying. But he's not the player that you saw overseas. Like those clips, he's not that same dude. So it's just hard to go off those clips.
That's very fair. Is like I said, there are clips, and then there's also some scouting sites that I read the scouting report on him, and you know, very fair points. But for me, I think you know, with the NBA being so much a pick and roll, this guy is phenomenal in the pick and roll. And also phenomenal creating, you know, in isolation, getting a shot for himself, and also off penetration for other players on the team. And, you know, if you're going and you invested so much in Davis Bertans, you know, you'll need someone to draw the defense towards them and kick it out for Davis Bertans, who's a 40% 3-point shooter, because that's all he's going to get you is sitting behind the line and shooting 3-pointers.
And he's a notable free agent that was signed by the Washington Wizards. All right. a lot has changed in the NBA during the offseason. We'll talk about the NBA trades and free agency after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team.
Pages.
You dig?
Deuces.
are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole. During the offseason, there has been a lot of NBA players changing venues. Let's get right to it. What has been your favorite? I'll start with Ray. What has been your favorite offseason move? Player changing places during this NBA offseason free agency period and via trades.
All right, brother, you are forcing me to pick one.
You give me a couple. That's not fair. Okay. Give me a couple.
So number one, I love what Daryl Morey is doing in Philly, adding Terrence Ferguson and Seth Curry and Danny Green. That's going to bring shooting. It's going to bring defense. Danny Green is, we know what he did in the playoffs, but that was the bubble. We're going to give the bubble benefit because he might have been missing his girl while he was in the bubble. I think he just got engaged. So, listen, you cannot necessarily go off of the bubble experience when you talk about Danny Green, because I remember that man shooting in the Spurs uniform. We go on YouTube and look up his best clips. That man can knock down some threes, right? We'll see. And then
absolutely.
I also like the Celtics picking up Tristan Thompson and getting rid of him. And letting Gordon Hayward walk, because Tristan Thompson is a tremendous defensive player and rebounder. It's a nice compliment to a very rich Jason Tatum over there. He's telling his cell phone. I mean, his friends put their cell phones away because I know he's partying with that money he just got. And then lastly, I'm a rock with my man Will T on this one with the Rockets, adding Christian Wood and Boogie Cousins.
Boogie.
I think that is a good incentive and helping to bring back maybe John Wall and James.
You some trash. Stop doing that, dude. You doing subliminal jerks all day with that. Stop that, bro.
I'm joking.
Well, Ray alluded to two of the he mentioned two of the signs that I like, which were Boston with Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague. I like what Houston did with Christian Wood and Boogie Cousins. One that's kind of gone under the radar that I really like is Serge Ibaka going to the Clippers. Yeah. One of the things that that Clippers team lacked was a defensive presence on the inside, someone that can not only rebound but contest shots at the rim. And he also adds the dimension of being a stretch five, you know, if you play with those smaller lineups with him playing at center. So I like those moves. And I also like what the New Orleans Pelicans are doing. Them being able to get three first rounders from the Milwaukee Bucks for Jrue Holiday, plus the ability to swap two picks, and then also picking up Steven Adams. From OKC what Griffin has been able to do as a GM in a relatively short time in New Orleans, I think is phenomenal, and I think that's going to be a team we'll be watching and enjoying for the next 5 to 6 years as they continue to develop. The question will be, will they be able to get over the hump?
Yeah, I'm about to be real biased. I like what the Lakers are doing. Obviously getting Trez was big, getting Montrezl Harrell.
You like that pickup?
Oh, I loved it because I know what it does for the bench, because that bench was dry. So now it adds to the bench. You got Montrezl coming off the bench. You're going to have Kyle Kuzma off the bench. I'm forgetting one other.
Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, thank you. Dennis Schroeder come off the bench. So now you have like a bench that you don't have to rely on. You know, AD or LeBron to play, you know, they both can be out at certain periods of the season. So you don't have to always have one on the court. I mean, granted, you're probably going to have one on the court anyway, but you won't have to. You saw what Dennis Schroeder did, with the OKC in terms of like being one of the better six men in the NBA. So I like what they did in terms of strengthening that bench. And then you bring Wesley Matthews, a dude that you lost Danny Green, you lost Bradley, which I do think is going to hurt. And he went to Miami, which I do like. I like that. I think it's a great fit. You're talking about a guy who's gritty, who just straps. That's that Miami mentality, and he's going to fit well in Miami. So that's a sign that I like. This is the obvious one. I like what the Phoenix Suns did. You brought in Jay Crowder. You got Chris Paul.
Yeah, I didn't love that Jay Crowder signing 3 years and $30 million.
The contract. Well, he played well. Like me and Ray, we talk about this on other prior shows.
But you know, his shooting in the bubble was, you know, was good for him. It helped him make this amount of money. To be honest with you, I want to see him shoot this well when he's not in the bubble. But you know, the way he shot in Miami gave him this contract. I just think that's a good fit because you can't, like, you just need players to play their role, especially when you have Chris Paul, who's going to make everybody better. You can't have nothing but scorers out there. You had to get, to me, trading Kelly Oubre was good for what this team needed to build. Like, you got to have people play a role. So now you have Jay Crowder, who knows his role. Like, he's not going to ask to go ISO. He's going to spot up in the corner and try to shoot, you know, and shoot a set three. You know that. He's not going to try to create on his own. You have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, who we saw in the bubble, outside the bubble. He's a dude who's a scoring machine. Then you got DeAndre Ayton. Now you can utilize him. Now Chris Paul can make him better. We've seen Chris Paul make all bigs better once he lands in your organization. He did the same. He did the same with in Houston with the dude. What's his name? Who got traded from Houston?
Tyson Chandler.
No, not Tyson Chandler. He got Tyson Chandler money in.
Oh, Clint Capella.
Capella. He helped Capella out. Yeah. Did the same with Tyson Chandler while in New Orleans. You know, he helped New Orleans.
That's what I was thinking
about. He did that. I mean, everywhere Chris Paul has been, he's done this. Like, you know, I mean, Adams has always been decent, but he's made people better and he's made bigs better. So to me, when you get that, and especially when you got a young big who's trying to find his way and you got a Chris Paul, that is a great sign. That is a great acquisition. So I like that signing. But there's multiple. I actually like, even, you know, people just like Jordan, like myself, like as a GM or owner, excuse me, as an owner. I like getting Gordon Hayward, I liked it because I liked that you got rid of what's his face?
Messed up my next question.
I know. I go ahead, bro. But I like because he got rid of
Nicholas Batum.
Yeah, I like because he got rid of Batum. I just feel like that's a better fit. Like Gordon's a better fit for what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
But let me ask both of you this, because we kind of went back and forth via text over this, but $30 million for Nicholas. Gordon Hayward.
Oh, the money ain't right. I didn't say the money was right. I just like the player.
I mean, even okay. Let's look at that Charlotte team. Mm-hmm. They have Scary Terry Rozier.
That's a bad signing.
LaMelo, and you have Devontae Graham.
Oh my God, just dumb.
you have PJ Washington who had a good year last year.
You got Bridges. Bridges.
Yeah, you have Bridges.
Yeah.
And you re-signed, I believe they re-signed Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah,
and then you have Gordon. You have Gordon Hayward. You're paying $30 million to Gordon Hayward. So who is your go-to player? If you give a guy $30 million,
it better be Gordon.
I would assume that's the leader of your franchise and the go-to player.
Yeah.
But is Gordon Hayward at this point of his career, is he still player? I don't believe so.
I think it's hard to say with Boston because Boston was already on a different – it's hard to judge him in Boston because that team was already transitioned to Tatum Brown. I just felt like he could never get his feet wet in Boston. And he, to me, he played the sideline role and was a good teammate. Like, he wasn't trying to gun. He just played within the system, which I think that's a credit because you come off regardless of your injury or whatnot, but – you were an all-star caliber player in Utah. A lot of people would still try to go in that thing. Like, you know what, dude, I get my shots. I don't care. But he came in that situation. Was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to play a role. We're going to play some team basketball. Even before, if you watched this game before the injury, that nasty knee injury, leg injury, he wasn't trying to gun. He was playing within the system. I think in Charlotte, it's going to be more fixated on him to score the football. I'm just going to say score the basketball. And it'll be a better fit. Now, what I don't like about Charlotte and their whole organization is that they draft the same position over and over again. Like, or you sign the same player. Like, you got Rozier, you got Graham, who Graham showed out. So you had to play him. He wasn't in your plans, but he showed out. And then you got Melo, and then you got Monk. Like, you got dudes that pretty much play the same thing. They like the same position for real. Like, it gets to a point where you talking about PJ Washington and Bridges, like they're like the same too. Like, it gets to a point where you just got to get people there. Like, you got to sign, draft, or whatever, sign and draft or trade correctly to a point where you can put people in your roles. It goes back to what I was talking about. What Phoenix is doing. Phoenix has gotten rid of certain players Now their roster slimmed down enough where they don't have players playing the same position. Everything's spread out. That's the problem with Charlotte. They got a lot of players that play the same position that you can't feature. Like, you just get rid of Monk, because I feel like they're ruining Monk's career by being in Charlotte. Like, it gets to a point where you just gotta give people roles. That's how you win basketball games. Give people assigned roles on your team, or get people that can do those roles. That way your team can actually win basketball games. But now, like, the Hornets, they just draft or sign players just because.
I think it's mostly because, you know, for some reason, Charlotte isn't a destination for free agents. Whether it's people, and I don't understand why, if you're young and you're making millions of dollars, you wouldn't want to live in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte's a nice city. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's that, and on top of the lack of success that the organization has had historically, which, you know, is a recipe for people possibly not for you having to overpay free agents to come to Charlotte. But, you know, with the drafting of LaMelo Ball, maybe things start to change.
Yeah, if his dad comes on, if his dad comes in games, maybe it won't.
I hope his father has learned that, you know, you raise two young men to a certain point, and now you gotta let them be their own man and stand on their own. So hopefully he learned that how, you know, how things played out in Los Angeles with Lonzo. So hopefully he steps back and he allows LaMelo to be his own man.
All right. So what acquisitions had you scratching your head? Let's start with you, Ray Jeezy.
Well, since we already talked about Charlotte, I'm gonna go to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the moves they made, but just their overall strategy. Mm-hmm. You want to keep the reigning MVP in Milwaukee, and you say, okay, we're going to get Jrue Holiday, which is dope.
It was dope.
He's a tremendous upgrade. He's going to ball with that team.
Man.
But you like, and Bogdanović, that's it. with all these free agents that are in the market, you talk about Boogie Cousins, who wouldn't have cost much, Jay Crowder, just different guys who will bring toughness, shooting, defense.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the moves that you are looking to make. I feel as though they did not do enough to keep Giannis in town. He's going to be looking at a bigger market.
Yeah, I liked. I mean, obviously, Jrue was amazing. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was to get Jrue was the man. I think Jrue. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think the playoffs, Jrue gonna be the best player on their team, because just the way he plays, man, he's gonna be the guy they go to down the stretch. But when you look at, Bogdanović, you know, he ended up going to Atlanta. Right, Atlanta signed him to an offer sheet, like, because Bogdanović didn't even want to go to Milwaukee. He decided he didn't want to go. So now they, like you said, the SOL. Like, I don't want to, this is what my issue with Milwaukee is. I feel like they have the talent to get to the NBA Finals and win a championship. Even last year, I just felt like they were putting blame on other players. And the blame to me should solely go on Giannis, because he has to develop a particular part of his game for this team to get over the hump. Because truth be told, you got, like, you getting Jrue could save you, because it's going to, and also it can expose you to show you that, all right, you know what, you may not be that dude in the postseason when this team needs you. So I thought getting Jrue was great, but I'm with you, Ray. Like, if you want to keep Giannis, because he needs a lot of help to be successful in the postseason, like, there are some other players to add. I definitely agree with you.
I don't want to judge Milwaukee off the bubble, though. Again, the bubble was a unique situation. I'm serious.
But he's always been that way, Ray. Like, he did that the year before.
He has his limitations, no doubt. But I'm just saying, as a team, they were playing pretty well before the NBA got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens when the restart, well, the new season, I'm sorry, we already had a restart, but the new season begins in December. I would like to see what they look like, because they are well-coached. They played together as a unit. They did lose Wes Matthews, though. That could hurt. But I'm just saying, if your number one goal was to please Giannis going into the offseason, I just think you failed at that. Because you're right. Some of the things that he does not excel at, you have to put around him.
Mm-hmm.
And did they accomplish that? I love Jrue Holiday. I think he's dope. He can score off the dribble. He brings a lot to the table.
He's
and
strapped.
He has swag.
And he can strap.
A swag that nobody else has. He can create for others. I like that signing, but I just feel as though they have not done enough, and their strategy was not good if your whole motive was to keep your star player.
We'll see. What'd you scratch your head, man?
I'm not going to say I didn't necessarily like the acquisition. It just left me scratching my head, the compensation they gave up for it. And that's bringing Robert Covington from Minnesota to Portland. Yeah, Robert Covington.
He was in Houston.
Yeah, excuse me, Houston.
Yeah, sorry.
He fits. Thank you. No, thank you for correcting. He fits well with Portland, but giving up two first round picks for him, to me, that's a little bit up. You know, a premium for Robert Covington.
Yeah,
that's the only. You know, I think it's a from a basketball perspective, I think it's a great fit. But giving up two first round picks for him, I understand that he has a reasonable contract, but you know, two first round picks is a lot.
So what team? So what teams after these moves? What team looks like the favorites to win it all? I'm gonna start with Ray because you're laughing. What's up?
No, I'm just thinking the fact that the Wizards got Robin Lopez. We got another brother in town. I'm waiting for Seth Curry to come to town before his career. Anyway,
you ain't lying, bro.
Listen here, fam. As much as I don't want to admit it. And I like a lot of what teams are doing. I think it's going to be very competitive. You got to put the Lakers in the driver's seat still.
Yeah, but back to back.
As much as I think Dennis Schroeder needs to be coached up by Jason Kidd, maybe become more disciplined. He's very raw. As you know, he doesn't always play within the team concept. Mm-hmm. It's still scoring off the bench, what they needed desperately. So I got to put the Lakers in the driver's seat. They're the defending champs. And you add Trez, who's going to be motivated because he moved next door. And feel as though his old team didn't want him.
Will T.
I agree with Ray. I still think that the Lakers are in the driver's seat, with the acquisitions that they made. One thing that's I'm not gonna say it's a under the radar. Well, it is partially under the radar move. Brooklyn bringing back Joe Harris with KD and Kyrie coming back and Joe Harris. His ability to space the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of an underrated move. And I think the NBA will potentially get its dream matchup with New York versus LA in the finals.
That'd be dope. You know what I'm saying? Don't sleep on Denver. I'm going to keep saying that team. Every team, they go through their trials to show you, to get to a championship level. And Denver, yep, over the last two seasons have shown you like the blueprint of what we've seen growing up. Like we've seen this type of thing growing up, watching how a young team is trying to find their way to be a championship team and getting the drafting RJ Hampton, to me, another young talented dude, it fits their blueprint of what they do to build their team for the future. I just think that team is really, they're peaking. They're showing Jokers takes his body serious. You know, he's like ready to like take his game to the next level. We saw it in the postseason. Same for Murray. Bobo's gonna get more burn now. Like now you're gonna see Bobo play, and we already know that Michael Porter is developing to be like that third piece. So like you have that team, and even re-signing Paul Millsap. Like you have to
for the vet, Paul Millsap
for the vets. You're having that vet. But go ahead, Will T.
No, before we get out of here, couple things to go back. One thing that was kind of hand scratching to me is Detroit, the move that Detroit
is making. Yeah, I ain't get it. They're doing a lot. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I understand Troy Weaver's first time as a GM.
Yeah, ain't no PG Jaguar. Go ahead, dog.
Shut up. I don't understand all of the. I don't understand all the moves that he's making. He has some kind of mismatching pieces there.
Yeah.
That's one. And I know we're coming up on time for the show. Yeah. I just want to encourage everyone. Please, 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 please do not purchase the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones pay-per-view fight this weekend.
Don't watch.
These are 250. These are 250-year-old men. Who are legends, and you know they represent a special time in my life when boxing was it's good now, but it was amazing during the early 90s. Please, you know, I know that they're two gladiators who want to go in for the love of competition and sport, but we don't need to see these two men go in there at 50 years old and box.
That's great, man. I'm going to actually watch that fight. All right, man. We didn't get a chance to make our.
He said, "Don't pay for it."
Oh, facts.
Don't pay for it and don't watch it.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Oh,
no. No, bro. I'm going to watch it. All right. We didn't get a chance to make our Week 12 NFL picks on air, but you can find our picks on the Football Garbage Time website at www.footballgarbagetime.com, where Will T's a star. It's part of the Urban Sports Team versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Will T's in third place. I moved up to, I think I'm still at fourth place. I'm still at fourth place. And Ray's at seventh place. Ray moved up to seventh place. Football Garbage Time, Hakun Wong is in first place. And the homie George is in second place. Will T and Hakun Wong were chopping it up, talking trash about the other members of the Urban Sports Scene. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And we thank you all for listening to the show. You keep tuning in. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.